This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith and Kevin Lynch join me live in studio. Our continued conversation of the significant event last night in Charlottesville City Council Chambers, a surprise vote. Dee Dee, you were there. Were you surprised at this vote? We just talked to the mayor and he said he didn't see it coming.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. I was surprised they voted at all. It was called a report on the agenda. I think Hawes mentioned that it didn't even look like it was going to come to a vote.
So there was no vote on the agenda?
No, no.
This is the definition of a political blindsiding against the mayor, yeah.
Right, but you know, in retrospect, after watching it come down, it looked like it was pretty well planned.
Yeah. Kevin, you were there as well. What were your thoughts about this surprise vote? And then we'll flesh it out exactly what happened. But
well, it was disappointing. I actually wasn't at council at the time that they took the vote. I heard about it coming back from work and came there afterwards. And it is disappointing that they would get to this place because I think it shows a preference for politics versus a clear understanding of the issues. I think council tried to cut the baby in half, and in doing so, I don't think they've created a solution that's good for anybody. And I think, you know, cutting the baby in half sounds like a good idea when you're trying to balance competing interests and you don't know really who's right or who's wrong. But that's not why we elect city council. We don't elect them to try to find a you know, some sort of middle ground. I mean, sometimes that's important to do, but it's important to work from a basis of fact. And I just didn't see that happening.
Yeah. The phone lines are open at 977-1070-438. We're talking about the vote last night in city council. If you missed it, there weren't many reporters there, so not a lot of coverage. A 3-2 split vote, which Dee Dee explained this to us now. What exactly did they vote for? Because clearly a majority of city council changed its mind on the water, the plans for water.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It was interesting to watch how the motion was made and then amended. Basically, David Brown made the motion to build a dam with a 30-foot rise, either earthen or on the existing dam or concrete. And the Sakis and Hooja took some exception to it being, actually David Brown said, or a full height dam and fill it to 30. That's what he said. And Hooja and Sakis said, no, I'm only comfortable with a 30 foot. So they voted to build a 30 foot dam and only a 30 foot dam. But what they didn't, Sakis at one point had suggested that they tie it to dredging, that sort of negotiate a dredging and conservation piece in it, but that got dropped. So what they did is they basically gave away the store with giving the city nothing.
So
and they completely just ruined any negotiating power that they might have.
Yeah. So they essentially, just so I have this right now, they abandoned the what has been called the Norris Plan, which was to add on to the existing dam and to dredge for water in the existing infrastructure we have at South Fork and let that volume contribute to our water needs. They've essentially abandoned that.
Well, no. Actually, what they did is they're holding on to the September 20th resolution that does include dredging. It does include conservation. But they're just substituting a 13-foot dam for a 30-foot dam. Whether or not it has a base that can be enlarged is not clear.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if it's only built to 30 feet, that pretty much means it has to be a concrete dam, and that pretty much means it has to be built on the existing dam. And that's a significant piece, because this comes back to the whole Blacken Veatch versus Schnabel, earthen dam versus concrete dam. And as Kevin said, in this sense, nobody wins. That's not what the county wants. It's not what Dave Norris wanted and Holly Edwards wanted.
So now we got a third plan, basically.
Yeah, and basically it really screws the environmentalists that were.
How?
Because what it means is that there will be a much less of a need to build this pipeline from the South Fork. In fact, Tom Frederick said something really fascinating at the middle of the afternoon meeting, you know, with the Board of Supervisors and City Council got together. He, in the beginning of the meeting, he said there was confusion about how much the project cost, that it cost $142 million, but the dam itself only costs a fraction of that, and the rest of it wouldn't be needed for 20 or 30 years. What that implies is that he's now saying that pipeline won't be built for 20 to 30 years, and it was 10 years up to now. So he didn't actually say that, but he certainly implied it.
But you can't fill that new reservoir without the pipeline.
Oh, yes, you can. You can. And he has said this publicly in meetings. You can fill it from the Mormons. It will be filled from the Mormons. And I think that's been clear all along. When they were talking about a 42-foot rise, the largest earthen dam, there was some question as to whether they would partially fill it, but 30 feet is what they were talking about.
It's 442. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Kevin Lynch. The phone lines are open for you right now at 977-1070. Kevin, so now we have this county basically saying, this is what we want, no compromise. Dave Norris proposing a new plan, which City Council adopted. Then last night we had a majority of council abandon that and retweak it, so now we have a third plan. So where to from here? What's Dave Norris says? Dave Norris just told us a few minutes ago that he thought the county would dig its heels even more, and that the majority on council, the Brown Hooja Sakos coalition, would continue to support the county's wishes.
Well, that's possible, but it's kind of difficult to read too much into this because, you know, we've been through votes of one kind or another for a good 3 years now. I remember it wasn't too long ago when the city council voted for the 13-foot raise and the dredging, and everyone was saying, hey, is it time for you guys to do a victory lap? And at the time I said, no, there's still a lot. It's really not over until they start building something out there. And I think that's still probably true here. You know, we met with a couple of the Board of Supervisors about a week ago or so, and while it was pretty clear to me that they knew what they wanted as much water as they can get, and they wanted it now. They didn't really articulate very well why they wanted it. And I think that's something that's going to have to play out a little bit here as we talk about things like, what about this pipeline? The pipeline seems to be in a lot of people's minds, unfortunately, in the minds of a lot of elected officials. It's this magical thing that somehow is going to make all problems go away and allow a 30-foot rise, allow a tripling of the reservoir from about a half a billion to a billion and a half gallons to somehow just work. And the fact is they've done very little engineering at all, actually no engineering, very little analysis, even sort of very little back of the paper to figure out how this pipeline would possibly work.
And how much it would cost.
And how much it would cost.
Yeah.
And so now it concerns me that there was so much willingness on the part of the county to push forward regardless of how much. I mean, even not knowing that, just seems to be folly to do that. Now, of course, people are free to make stupid decisions, but how long they will really hold, it's hard to say.
We continue our conversation with Dee Dee Smith and Kevin Lynch. They're live in studio, and Margo is with us in Albemarle County. Margo, thank you so much for your call. You go right ahead.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Very good, very good.
I'm just wondering how soon we can vote the Spendthrifts off the council.
Or the Board of Supervisors.
Or the Board of Supervisors, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure when the next election is, but to get to Margo, and Margo, stay with us.
November.
To get to her the point there in her question, we basically have seen now a majority on City Council and certainly the Board of Supervisors choosing the more expensive route.
Right.
Am I right? Yeah. I don't want to be...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Kevin, and that flesh that out for me. That's Dave Norris has been
really
trying all along.
To answer the caller's question, this November you've got a chance at about half of them. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the Norris plan has had as its sort of guidepost, let's find not the cheapest way, but something that's a lot more fiscally responsible and environmentally responsible. But can you argue that the majority of council last night opted to go for something a lot more expensive?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the thing about the Norris plan that people got to keep in mind, and the plan in general that was approved in 2006, the state requires us to have a 30 to 50 year plan for how we're going to provide water. And that's an intelligent thing to do. It's not foolish to plan for a 50 year water supply. What's foolish is to build a 50-year water supply.
We're not required to build anything, right?
Right. Well, I'm not. I think there are things that need to be done, but to capitalize a 50-year plan right up front is not smart. And in fact, you know, it was interesting when we were looking at the history of this. There was a letter we found from a former city manager when the pipeline to Sugar Hollow was being built, and there was debate then about how much water should be built. And at the time, they said, we should plan for the next two decades in terms of building stuff, because beyond the next two decades, it's impossible to predict what's going to happen. And that's the position that we've taken, is that we're not saying we're not going to, you know, we don't want to grow or we don't want to be but so size, you know, such a large size. But really, we have to look at how much water do we need now, which is not that much. How much supply do we have now? It greatly exceeds the need that we have now. So what are some, you know, prudent steps to make sure that we bring capacity online as we need it? And council and the Board of Supervisors have been stampeded into getting way more than we need right now, and they'll have to pay for way more. That by the time we actually need this water, the facilities will be decades old, yeah. And we'll be maintaining this thing before we even use it.
Well, the other thing, too.
Well, let me go really quick. Okay. Margo, thank you for the call. Do you have any more thoughts?
No, that's it.
Thank you so much. We got a line open. 977-1070 is the phone number here. And Didi, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and even more relevant today than back in the 1940s when they built the pipeline, or the 20s, is we even are less able to predict how much water we're going to need in the next 50 years because the technology is changing so rapidly. Now we have that component. The 21st century is going to bring an innovation in water efficiency. It has to.
Well, here's a concern I have along those same lines is to fund all of this, there's no tax. There's no, like, water tax. There's water rates. It's the people who buy the water, pay into the system, and that's how they fund all this infrastructure. So if we have elected leaders then opting for the more expensive route here, then the burden is going to fall on the ratepayers and the people who buy the water, most of whom are in the city.
About half now. It's getting more equal.
Is it getting to be parity? Okay,
it's
fair
close.
Enough.
It's close.
Fair enough. But I guess my point is that you've got less water being used, so less water being bought. So how do you pay for it you have less people buying into the system?
People's bills will go up. I mean, there's just no getting around that. And they've been going up. And that's part of the concern that we have. And that's part of the main reason that I've stuck with this for all this time. I mean, we used to have among the lowest rates in the state. And we raised the rates back in 2002-2003 on the basis of a repair plan, on the basis of maintaining our existing infrastructure and going forward. And I think the bureaucrats have just seen that as a signal that, hey, you know, we'll take that money that you're going to use to fix things and just start buying new stuff, building new stuff.
Let's go back to the phones.
It will come out of people's pockets.
Betty is also with us. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. And she is – Betty, what's the UVA connection?
Well, Clay, that's what I like Kevin and Dee Dee. Mr. Hoosier justified his vote in part last night by claiming – that UVA's growth, or the fact they're going to grow faster, is why he needed to vote for this mega dam. And I'd like to hear Kevin and Dee Dee address that.
Betty, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Basically, and this has really sort of driven me crazy that UVA has been thrown out there as a reason to build this. First of all, UVA's growth has been factored in. Now, whether or not
already
into the plan. And if the fact that they may grow a little bit more or even a lot more, they are such a minor player in the big picture of how much water we use in this community. They comprise now, I think it's like 11% of the total water. And They're one of the major conservers. They are a leader in water conservation. Their use today is much less than it was even in 1999. So when they do grow, and they will grow and they will use more water, but they are not even likely to get back up to where they were back in 1999. And it's just, compared to the growth in the county, it's just such a minor issue, yet they have been used to say, oh, we have to build this huge dam because, look, UVA has just decided it's going to grow a little faster, yeah, or even more, you know, faster.
It's 4:53. The phone lines are open. 977-1070 is the phone number. Big vote last night in Charlottesville City Council, a split vote, 3-2. I don't want to say abandoning the Norris plan, or do I? They say they're tweaking it, but...
Dave Norris addressed this actually at the end of the meeting. It is, in many ways, it could well abandon the plan because, as he said, if you build this big dam, it really negates the need to dredge the South Fork. And possibly the funds to do it.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think it's more about the funds. I don't think it really will negate the need because sooner or later, the South Fork has to have reservoir capacity just so that there is some catchment area. Remember, that's where all the rain flows into. Anything that goes to Ragged Mountain is going to have to be pumped, and it's going to have to be pumped from somewhere. The pipeline itself only can carry 25 million gallons a day. So when we get a big rain, there needs to be some holding area where they can pump from. And I think that's something, certainly when we talked to the Board of Supervisors, they didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who don't really understand the system. And, you know, we have a Norris plan, and that's a good thing. I think Dave's one of those few people who has really sat down and tried to figure out what all the moving pieces are. And that's to his credit that he's done that. I believe that anyone who takes the time to figure out all the moving pieces would come to a similar conclusion.
Let's go back to the phones. Jane is in Earliesville. Jane, thank you so much for your call. You go right ahead.
Well, my question is, where is the source of the water that they're going to store in Ragged Mountain? My understanding was it has a very small watershed, so where are they going to get the water to put into this increased capacity? And I'll take comments off the air.
Jane, thank you so much. And Kevin, yes, you were just speaking to that.
Jane, I really appreciate that question because this is one of the big issues. Right now, Ragged Mountain is filled from the Mormons River Sugar Hollow Dam. And the increase in the height of the dam at Ragged Mountain will continue to be filled from the Mormons in the Sugar Hollow until such time as there are funds or the need or the demand to justify building a new pipeline between the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir and Ragged Mountain Reservoir. But my contention is that that demand is just not going to materialize. We are very unlikely to see that pipeline be built.
But if they have never built it, then you don't accomplish the goal that the Nature Conservancy wanted, which was to put water back in the Mormons.
Environmentalists to cut off water being drawn from the Mormons. The Nature Conservancy might still get their you know, they want to do this little experiment with releasing water.
Thank you both for being here, and we'll continue to talk about this issue, I am certain, in the future. I'm glad you both could be here. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Craig.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.